We recently awarded contracts to two vendors to provide some credential services that will be integrated into the program, which is why I say we're officially open for business. So now any agency that wants to use the Connect.gov program can access all four levels of credentials needed. So probably need to back up and say, what is the program?
Yeah, sure, because I think one thing, you talked about four levels of credentials. We know about the FSMA impact levels, 1, 2, 3, 4, but this also goes up maybe a little bit deeper. So talk a little bit about what the program is and then what those four levels of credentials are.
You know, if I take a step back, you know, one of the things is we're trying to help agencies achieve the vision of digital government. How do we allow people to access high-quality digital government information and services anywhere, anytime, and on any device? In order to do that, a user has to be confident that their identity and information won't be compromised, and an agency has to be confident that they're, in fact, dealing with the right person and not a fraudster. So we have built Connect.gov to sort of facilitate this interaction and ensure trust and enhance privacy of those sort of interactions. So Connect.gov is a government-wide shared service that allow agencies to easily access secure digital credentials so they can provide these type of online transactions, including government-approved third-party digital credentials. So these are commercial entities that are providing identity authentication services that have gone through government approval process and are being integrated into the Connect.gov platform, so they're a trusted credential that agencies can use. So the idea is that as a consumer, maybe I don't want to create a login and password for every different agency I go to, but maybe I want to use a credential I already have and I trust. And it could be Verizon and ID.me were our two award winners for the recent procurement, but it could be my bank login, it could be a social media login, any of those. So if I can use one of these credentials to access the government services, then I'm giving the choice to use what I'd like to use. It also allows the agencies to not have to create their own digital credentials and be able to use a third-party credential. So we're trying to provide a one-stop shop to address the identity problem for agencies, so that way they can focus on providing these services to citizens online and look at new ways to transform how they interact with customers.
Okay, so let's back up for a sec. So when we talk about digital credentials, people hear about this, and a digital credential could be something as simple as if you have a Gmail account, if you have a Yahoo account, if you have any other kind of third-party account, it could be something as simple as that, but it also could be as much as what they call a PKI, a public key infrastructure type of credential. So it really does span the gamut.
It does, but you're exactly right, and we want to allow agencies to access that gamut. So an agency might want to provide a simple newsletter to a citizen, and you can use what's called a low-level credential, so a level one credential, which means I don't really care who you are. You want this information, I'm happy to give you the newsletter. But as you go to look at providing healthcare data, social security data, tax information, if I want to have a digitally signed document sent over to apply for something, a patent, a trademark, some of that, you need a higher level of assurance that I am who I say I am. You want to make sure that somebody isn't perpetrating fraud. And so for those interactions, you're looking at maybe a level two or level three. And what comes with a level two or level three is it's more than just a username and password. And I think, I mean, that's one of the things we can all agree. You look at what's going on online and the hacking and the fraud, and we want to get away from just username and password. And so by doing this and adding multi-factor authentication, strong identity proofing, we're creating these higher levels of assurance digital credentials. And then if we have that, then the government can give more high value services online.
Talk about the recent contract award. You mentioned Verizon and ID.me. What are they going to provide the government, and how is the government going to use them, or the vice versa? How are citizens and consumers and businesses going to use Verizon or ID.me to interact with the government?
We did just do a contract award to both Verizon and ID.me for providing the level two and level three credentials. So those are the higher level credentials so that you can access more high value data. So as a consumer, I don't want to create another login and password for the agency, and I need to prove I am who I say I am to the agency to access my healthcare data. So you could use a level two or level three credential, and I could use what I already have. Maybe I've already created a Verizon account. Maybe I've already gone through everything at Verizon, shown them the information that I need to show them to prove who I am, done the multi-factor authentication. They vetted me, and so I have this credential, and now I can use it. I can go access my healthcare records. I can go pay my taxes. I can go get my veterans benefits if I'm a veteran. So Verizon and ID.me are only two credential providers. We only have two right now for this phase one of the program. In the future, I intend to have a lot more. And it doesn't just have to be Verizon and ID.me. There's a whole world of digital credentials out there that we could, different venues for getting digital credentials. We could look at banks. We could look at healthcare organizations. We could look at trade associations, AARP. There's a whole vested groups out there that we want to have access to. But for sort of this phase one, our initial operating capability, we only awarded the two contracts, but it's our intention very quickly to onboard more providers. And that way we're giving consumers choice and agencies choice, because some credentials might speak to a certain population geared toward that agency.
Just to be clear, when you talk about Verizon, so if I have a Verizon account, I pay my bill to Verizon, I get internet or whatever, that's not what you're necessarily talking about. You're not talking about their username and password to log onto your Verizon account. You're talking about an actual digital credential, a piece of software maybe that resides on your computer or something else that really does that, as you said, multi-factor authentication.
Right, because I don't think Verizon's really caring that much about who's paying your bill as long as someone is paying your bill. But they do have a whole other business line around digital credential. And the idea is, and I'm sure you've been through it, sometimes when you go to do a transaction online, it wants to know, it asks you some knowledge-based questions. Have you ever lived here? Which street have you never lived on? You know, what was the amount on line 10 of your taxes last year? You know, these are some of the things. Or if you ever go try to renew your driver's license online or any of those type of transactions. So that's getting into a higher level of credential. But there are commercial entities that are looking to provide that service now, and they're doing it, one, for themselves, and people are requiring higher levels of trust and digital credentials in the commercial market as well as in the government market. And so, you know, there could be an opportunity where at some point there is a trusted digital credential in government that we use. And right now we're trying to leverage what's out there in the commercial market. And a perfect example is your bank. When you log into your bank, they know who you are. There are higher levels of authentication with that. So just like you can use your bank ATM at any bank, if you had a secure trusted bank digital credential, what if you could use that for any secure digital transaction?
The point you're making is it's convenient, it's secure because it's the third party that has a trusted relationship with the government. So talk a little bit about what this means that you guys have officially launched. I remember writing about several times over the last year or so, some connect.gov pilots with VA, with USDA. Are they part of this initial rollout?
We have several agencies that we're working with, and I won't name them all. They'll be speaking up soon. But we have the platform. They are integrating to the platform and will be putting applications up for their user base throughout the year. So, and as they start to use it, we'll get some of the testing data and work on how we refine the user interface and the activity there. But we're working closely with them, trying to help solve some of their credentialing issues and ours. So I think at some point later in the year, we'll be able to give you a better idea around usage and some of these applications. So we're still in the early stages, but we have several agencies that are working with us on that. And they're testing all the different levels of authentication in their applications. So the value of Connect.gov is an agency can integrate to one platform and have access to all different levels of authentication, so they can provide easy applications to more complex, high-value data applications.
We heard about the e-authentication initiative a number of years ago. I know I've talked to your partners at NIST about this a little bit. How is this kind of advancing that idea of e-authentication? Because that never took off. There was the Federal Bridge. There was several other initiatives that people never seem to pick up on. How do you think this one's different?
I think what's different right now is sort of the time and the era that we're in. We are moving so much more online now, and we're seeing the fraud and the hacks, and there is a concerted effort about how we move beyond username and password, how we put more transactions online. You know, we have a whole generation of people growing up that have no idea about paper-based transactions or, you know, how to use a map or do any of this. So I think it's part of where we are today, and I think it's the evolution of identity. You know, I think we might have been a little bit early on e-authentication.
And I think a lot of people would agree, because the people just maybe weren't ready for it. Now, the other piece of this effort is obviously initially called F6. I know you guys now are calling it the new change, connect.gov, but you had a pilot with the Postal Service. They made an award to Secure Key Technologies. How does that fit in with this Connect.gov? I know they're related, but how does that USPS initial pilot?
Really what we did is we just changed the name of the Federal Cloud Credential Exchange to Connect.gov. And PS, the Postal Service, is still our partner. They are still building out the technology platform, and right now that's SecureKey that's providing that. And we are putting together the full government-wide shared service, plugging in the credential providers and what could be future credential providers or applications on there.
So obviously it's still happening, but what does this mean for USPS's role? They're setting up the digital platform, the cloud based platform for this?
That's exactly right. So they've developed in partnership with SecureKey, the cloud-based platform structure that's sort of the backbone of the program that will help run it. That platform helps ensure the security is built into the system, the enhanced privacy metrics are built into the system, and that platform is going to allow us to plug a bunch of different things in on it in the future.
Looking forward, you said this is just at the very beginning stages, if you will, of getting off the ground. You have two credential providers, hopefully more coming up in the next few months. Where do you see this program heading, you know, a year from now? If we talk again, what will the program look like?
Hopefully a year from now, we'll have a good uptake on credential usage and have a good idea of what the agencies are looking for and what consumers are looking for. And I think part of that that's going to be important too is we have to socialize this with users. Users have to get used to being able to ride a digital credential they own and being asked for more information for secure, trusted transactions. But in a year from now, there's all kinds of new technology. What if I could interact with government using my biometric on my phone to authenticate me in some level? Or there's just a whole world of changing technologies out there. And if we can just try and solve a little bit of the identity issue and the security issue, there's all kinds of interactions we can have with government. I think, you know, NIST and Jeremy and the folks over there talk about how do you enable that killer app? You know, how do you come up with the next great app for government that transforms how we're interacting with citizens? So that's what we're hoping to do.